Good morning. It's good to be here with you, and I'll say that it's a little surprising sometimes when you get a call the day before services, but I'm sure Brother Craig was trying to get himself in a position where he could be here. I know he preached last Sunday morning and was not feeling well and did both services. So I know I do that as far as work is concerned. Sometimes if I'm not feeling real well, I'll try to push it to the last minute to see if I'm going to be able to handle it or not. And I'm sure that's probably what he was doing too. But when you have a stomach ailment that probably doesn't allow you to go very far from one particular spot, I'm sure that that could be a cause for alarm. So I didn't actually talk to him. I talked to Sister Sherry, and she still didn't sound like she's totally over it either. So let's keep them in our prayers and thoughts, and hopefully they can get themselves back to a good portion of health and be back with us Wednesday. So with that, because of the short notice, I looked at Julie and I said, not sure we can get one together even between the two of us for tomorrow. And she said, well, you've got about 40 sermons on the hard drive on your computer, so let's pull one up. And so we pulled a couple of them up, and this is the one I chose. If you were here about 4.5 years ago, you've heard this lesson before, so just telling you. But I do think it's a good lesson for all of us to think about, go back over, and consider once again. Many times in our lives, when tasks or situations become hard or difficult for us, we're encouraged to use aids to help ourselves along in those tough times. I was thinking back to my college days, and yeah, that's been years and years ago. Graduated college in 83, and just thinking of one particular class that I took as a sophomore in college. It was basic statistics, 200 level course that you had to take to be a business major. And I took that class. First day we went in, the professor told us that in the front of the book and in the back of the book are a number of formulas that you want to take a look at. You open up the front of the book and the first two pages and the last two pages on the inside cover are totally filled with formulas, statistical formulas, and I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be a class that I'm going to have a tough time with. But luckily, this professor, when it came to our first test, said, you can bring your book, which you could anyway, obviously you had to keep it under your desk, but you can bring your book and you can use those formulas, because really I'm more interested in you applying those formulas than you remembering those formulas. And I thought, wow, that's neat. That works for me. So I took my book, and the problem is when you think in those terms, sometimes there's so many formulas there that you have to be able to know exactly which one you're to use in what situation. I did fine in the class. The problem was at the final, he didn't allow that. We had to know those formulas well enough at that point to be able to use those to aid us in passing the class. I came out of the class, I think it was a B or something like that. But it was just the fact that, you know, sometimes professors allow you that option. And that can be a good thing, but it's also up to you to be able to understand and apply those things. Also, when it comes to aids, as older people, we appreciate those types of things also. If I was standing up here without my glasses on, I could barely see Todd there in the back of the room, I'm sure, let alone see the material that I'm getting ready to go through in my Bible, most of all, because I've got bigger print on my paper here. But, you know, eyesight, hearing aids, etc., are necessary. And as you get older, you come to figure out more and more that that is definitely the case, because I think my eyeglasses change every year, or close to every year, as far as strength is concerned. So with that, the lesson this morning is going to be directed toward that thought, but also toward an Old Testament example of God delivering aid to his people, and their acceptance and their gratitude for his help in doing so. So let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel, and we'll start out in chapter 7, and I want to read verses 7 through 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says, "Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines.' And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" On this part of Scripture, it takes place right at the end of the period of the Judges. And the children of Israel, as they did on many occasions, had gone back to serving idols. And because of this, they had become got in a situation where they were under Philistine control. And this would take place, or had taken place at this point, for about 20 years. So Samuel, who was a prophet and a judge, was now of age, and he was preaching to the people at that time to repent. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 2 through verse 6, we can see also Samuel's pleas here for his people. It says, "So it was that the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines.' So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, 'Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you.' So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day, and said there, 'We have sinned against the Lord.' And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah." So once the Philistines, as we see here, heard about the repentance of these people, of the people of Israel, they decided they'd better get on the stick. They brought their entire army against Israel at that point. And we see that Israel was afraid of their enemy. And they cried out to Samuel, and they said, "Help, we need help. God needs to be there for us. We need him to deliver us." Samuel at this point then offers this lamb of sacrifice for the people, and he implores God to deliver them. And God, of course, as we see, hears Samuel's prayers, and he thunders down upon the enemy, causing confusion and allowing Israel to win this battle. Scripture tells us that the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. So after this victory, Samuel erects this stone between Mizpah and Shin, and he calls its name Ebenezer. Ebenezer, the name itself, means a stone of help. We don't really hear much about the word Ebenezer today. I think probably the time that we hear about it the most, and I think that was part of the deal with this lesson, it was actually put together on November 29th, was around Christmas time. You hear of Ebenezer Scrooge. That's not really the thought here, but that's probably the most often that we hear that particular name. But I think at times we sing a song in worship, and that particular song has the lyrics, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." So how many times have we wondered what that word meant in its context here? The hymn is entitled, "O Thou Fount of Every Blessing," and the arrangement in our books is actually song number 226, and it's called "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Obviously, being a newer version book, it has some different wording, but pretty much the same thought. And the main theme of this song is the praising and voicing of appreciation to God for all the blessings that he provides for us. The second line of the song read, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood." And as I've already said, the word Ebenezer means a stone of help. I think we can see from our text this morning that this rock was raised as a memorial for the people, for them to remember why and who had caused the victory that they had just had at this point. I'd like to suggest to us this morning, too, that there are times when we as individuals need to raise our Ebenezer. So how do we do this? Well, I want to try to imply three ways that we can do that today. How we can raise our Ebenezer, if I can talk. And in doing so, we give glory to God, as we should, for the victories that we have in our lives. The first way that we can raise our Ebenezer is when we continue to have faith in the face of seemingly impossible tasks in our lives. Back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 7, Israel here faced what was seemingly an impossible task. They were up against this army of Philistines. They'd been under their rule for some 20 years. So obviously, and as we know from other scriptures, the Philistine army was more powerful, it was bigger, it was stronger than Israel. They had defeated Israel many times. And once again, they're in that situation where Israel is going to try to take them on. However, at this point, the country of Israel had faith in God, and because of Samuel's sacrifice and because of his prayer, God listened and he allowed Israel to prevail. During the Revolution, the colonists were struggling to prevail over a much more powerful army, the army from Britain. Boston, which we know was pretty much the center point of all things that happened at that time, besides Philadelphia, I think Boston was the start of everything, was at that time, though, controlled by the British. And it was a key target for the colonists in this particular war. They had to win Boston to win the battle. The problem was that Washington at that time needed artillery to accomplish this. It had so happened, though, that earlier in the year 1775-1776, that the Americans had overtaken a fort called Fort Ticonderoga. And this was all accomplished by a Vermont radical by the name of Ethan Allen and his band of rowdies. These guys were called the Green Mountain Boys, and if you've ever been to Vermont, you know how pretty those mountains really are. But the fort itself was in a place that would not allow for easy passage of this artillery back to Washington in the area around Boston. And in the winter of 1775-1776, it was a pretty rough winter. But there was a man out there by the name of Henry Knox, and I think we all know his name because if you've ever been or around Fort Knox in Kentucky, you know that that's who it was named after. This guy volunteered to go and to transport this weaponry over to Boston. So with his men, he went and he brought over 60 tons of heavy artillery through these adverse weather conditions on sledges. They drug them or pulled them over 300 miles in order to aid the defeat of the British at Boston. The task seemed daunting. However, these colonists raised an ebony and were victorious over the British. So what kind of seemingly impossible tasks do each one of us face today? We may have problems with a difficult boss on the job. I'll look back at Tandy on that one. She may think I'm difficult at times, and it's probably true. I have my good days and my bad. We may face difficulties when it comes to our marriages. We may face difficulties when it comes to dealing with our kids. Sometimes the government doesn't do things that seem to be right as we see them, or may not work out right in our lives. Or, I think more importantly than anything, taking the gospel to others in the world can be a hard situation. What do we say when we encounter these things? Do we give up, or do we raise an Ebenezer? Many times we try to solve these kinds of problems on our own instead of using our faith to accomplish the victory. Paul encourages us to raise our Ebenezer in this way in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, where he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The second way that I come up with this morning that we can raise our Ebenezer is by acknowledging the Lord's help in prayer. I think there's no better example of this in Scripture than with King David. We've talked about David a lot when it's come to Old Testament classes that we've had in the past, and I think we all know that David was definitely the man that was after God in God's own heart. And we've said that many times, but when you read some of the things that David prayed about, asking for help, help from God in situations where he was having problems within his life, we can really see the nature of David. Let's look at a few of those this morning in the book of Psalm. First one's in Psalm chapter 12 and verse 1. Psalm 12, verse 1. I'll give you a second to get there because I've got them conveniently on my paper here. But Psalm 12, 1 says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." In Psalm 27, these are all in order as far as lower number to higher, Psalm 27 and verse 9. David says there, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation." And in Psalm 33 and verse 20, he says once again to God, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." In Psalm 46 and verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And the last one is in Psalm chapter 60 and verse 11. And he says there, "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless." So David, as we can see, raised his Ebenezer when he prayed to God. So how is our prayer life? Does it even come close to comparing when it came to David? Do we acknowledge God's help in the prayers that we put forth to our Maker, to our God? We all know, I think, provides us with a lot of things. And first and foremost, we see around us the many things that we have, not only our families, our homes, the vehicles that we drive, but also the knowledge that we have and the things that we have in our lives that we can put forth to be who we are, to actually earn our sustenance in life. But he puts forth all those things and gives those to us. In Acts chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, we see here where Paul and Barnabas appeal to the idolatrous worshipers in Lystra by saying this: "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." God not only provides for our sustenance, he provides for our civic protection when it comes to our government and through our government. Back in the book of Romans, and in particular chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we can see Paul explaining this here. Did I say chapter 1? I meant chapter 13. It says there, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." And also, God provides for probably the most important thing in our lives, our spiritual welfare. We can see this back in 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where I mixed them up. Verses 2 through 4. Says there, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through thee be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So all these things, in a nutshell, pretty much everything that we can think of or that we see around us come from God. James tells us in James 1:17 that all good things come from God. Do we say thank you enough for what God does for us and for those daily helps that we have? I think all of us can probably shake our heads no on that, because if we truly do thank him, we need to continuously do that. So as we see, or as we've already seen with David, David affirmed God's help when he said, "He is our help." So may we always raise our Ebenezer when we pray to God and thank him. Finally, we raise our Ebenezer when we remember God's help in salvation. This can't be made any clearer than when we observe the Lord's Supper, which we just did. I've actually got two passages here, but I'm only going to read one of them. In Luke 22, since we are just partook, we will have that pretty fresh in our minds, and should anyway. But in Luke 22, verses 19 through 20, it says there, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." We see this passage where Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, and then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 through 26, an often read passage around the Lord's table. Paul taught the Corinthians there too, exactly the same thing. So what do we remember by observing? this memorial. In Isaiah 59, 2, we remember that we were lost in our sin without God's help. In Romans 6:23, and you don't have to turn to these, you can write them down or whatever, we remember that without God's help, that we would have faced a certain eternal death. In Romans 5:8, we remember that while we were enemies, Christ, the Son of God, died for us. And in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, we remember that it's through Christ's death and his blood sacrifice that our sins were atoned. In Romans 1, 16 and 17, we remember that it's through God's power of the gospel that we're saved. And lastly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we remember that the gospel is the righteousness of Christ. It's not our own, but his. So when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are truly raising our Ebenezer. So the next time you read or sing of raising your Ebenezer in this song, sing it on occasion, but if we're singing it, maybe you'll have a little clearer understanding of the true blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Have you acknowledged God as your help in life and in the struggles that you deal with? Have you acknowledged him in your prayer life? And have you acknowledged him when it comes to your salvation? Jesus stands knocking at the door, or at the door knocking, get it right there, ready to help. It's up to us to open the door through our obedience and to accept his help. If we don't, we're just as foolish as those people that try to stand up in front of you and read from a Bible with no glasses on, which is exactly what would happen if I did that. Or a person that doesn't use their hearing aid when they need it to hear, or that person that doesn't take their textbook to class to help them on a test. So this morning, won't you raise your Ebenezer and accept God's help as we stand and as we sing this song that's been chosen? When the